Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour. We'll talk with Landon Powell here in the next segment. But Diesel, as a Carolina Panthers fan, one of the positive aspects at times in the NFL is when you have a disappointing season, you can often bounce back the next year just simply in the fact that, you get an easier schedule. You know, the way that they weight this thing is, you know, the teams that do the best have the more difficult schedule. And, of course, we know how bad that the Panthers suck coming down the stretch last year you're thinking, all right, it's going to be manageable. And it's not. The Carolina Panthers actually end up with one of the league's toughest schedules in 2019, according to the ELO rating. Their systems say the Texans have the hardest slate, followed by the Falcons and then the Panthers. Well, if you don't make the playoffs, how's this supposed to happen? And you know what? It gets started awfully, awfully difficult. In the season opener on September 8th, Carolina Panthers are hosting the L.A. Rams. You know, hot off a trip to the Super Bowl in which they just lost. So week number one, you get the L.A. Rams. Week number two, you get a short week Thursday night football with Tampa Bay coming to town. So that's a difficult start. You got one of the best teams in the league. It's a very sexy opener, if you will, with, Donald and Jared Goff and everything that the Rams have done. But then to have to turn around after that and play on Thursday night, Diesel, that's a tough, tough start for the Carolina Panthers. Then week number three, you're out of Arizona. Week number four, you're at Houston. So if you manage to get through September 2-2, I mean, I want them to be 4-0 or 3-1, but I look at this month of September and go 2-2, then maybe you can do some damage, because on week number five, October 6th, you get to come home and face the Jacksonville Jaguars before on October 13th, you got to get in, right after that game against Jacksonville, you got to get on the airplane and fly to London to play on October 13th against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So let's go back and look at this. Your road games at Arizona, at Houston, and in London. Those are your first three road games. Those aren't like hitting 95 going down to play the Atlanta Falcons. You know what I mean? I think these first 6 weeks of the Carolina Panthers schedule is really, really difficult. Well, they get October 20th off. That's one thing that the NFL does well, is if they force you to go over there and play in London, you get the following weekend off as part of your bye. Week number eight, they come home. Week number eight, they get back after a week off and going to London. Guess what? They're on the road at San Francisco. I mean, God, if you're a Carolina Panthers player, you better figure out a way to get some frequent flyer miles. You know what I mean? You can pay for an entire vacation with this frequent flyer mileage right here, Diesel.
Who is this elderly couple that puts together the schedule every year? I'm pretty sure they're off in medication.
Yeah. Week number nine, the Tennessee Titans come to town on November 3rd, November 10th at Green Bay, which I'm just sitting here thinking, I showed you this picture. I'll get to it in a second. That feels like you could get prepared for the weather in that game. Week number 11, they come home. They face the Atlanta Falcons on November 17th. On November 24th, they're at New Orleans. Then they come home for December 1st with the Washington Redskins. December 8th at Atlanta. December 15th, they have Seattle at home. December 22nd at Indianapolis, and then they close out the year, week number 17, December 29th, a home game with the New Orleans Saints. And what's kind of ironic, Carolina doesn't often close out the year at home, but that's a tough schedule for a team that went 7-9 last year, what, lost seven consecutive games coming down the stretch. I don't think the schedule may, and you can only play the games in front of you, but as you mentioned, that couple that says it's one of the hardest jobs, it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together out there. I don't think they did Carolina and the Panthers any favors when it comes to, A, difficulty, but, B, look at the mileage they're going to be spending.
Yeah, do you think they scheduled everybody else and they got to Carolina's schedule? They're like, oh, crap.
We forgot.
This is tough. But if we wanted to fix it, we'd have to blow the whole thing up and start again. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yep. So this is what I think. First of all, when you open up with the L.A. Rams, who just made it to the Super Bowl before they lost to New England, that's a juicy home opener that first weekend. You know what I mean? That is a real, real sexy home opener. And the reason I think they did that, Diesel, can you believe this will be the 25th year of the Carolina Panthers?
I remember the announcement.
We couldn't believe it.
God, it was incredible.
You remember they played in Clemson for a season. Mm-hmm. The coldest football game, the two coldest football games I've ever been to. Number one, the San Francisco 49ers at the Carolina Panthers in Death Valley that first year. And it mattered which side of the stadium you sat on.
Mm-hmm.
If you were on the home side in the shade, it sucked. I remember my toes being so cold. If you were on the visitor side in Death Valley in the sunshine, it was somewhat manageable.
Yeah, so what you were saying is there was about 10,000 on one side of the stadium and about 70,000 on the other side.
Well, it wasn't as bad as this. I was showing you from an old NFL playoff game. It was the year that Dan Fouts and the Kellen Winslow and the San Diego Chargers were one of the best offenses in football. There was not a defensive coordinator in the league that could stop that offense, but they got stopped by the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game. Due to Mother Nature. I showed you that photo. The game time temperature there in Cincinnati was -9 degrees. All right. The wind chill factor for that day in Cincinnati, -49 degrees. A steady wind of 25 miles an hour with gusts of 40 miles an hour. Do you know what they put at the bottom of the picture for today's weather?
Hoth.
Bitter cold. Somebody's more manly than I am to go sit in that football game, because I was miserable at that Carolina Panthers San Francisco game. The other coldest game I've ever been at was a Birmingham Bowl between South Carolina and UConn back in the day. Again, the UConn fans, all 4,000 of them that were there, they were okay because they were on the side of the stadium that had the sunshine. 20,000, 25,000 South Carolina fans sitting in the shade froze their asses off that day. And I challenge anybody from South Carolina that was at that Birmingham Bowl. I mean, that's why you say things like, you never say things like, I'll never go back, because I've made the comment that I'd never go back to the old gray lady again. And that's Legion Field in Birmingham. And, yep, ended up having to go shoot and cover a South Carolina UConn Birmingham Bowl. So that is by far the coldest I've ever been at. Now, getting back to the Panthers schedule, like I said, number one, I think it's a real sexy opener. The second thing is, do you think the NFL has a little bit of news maybe when it comes to Cam Newton's shoulder? Because this is why I'm asking. There's only one primetime game on the schedule. You know what the NFL likes to do, Diesel. They like to feature those players in prime time. You know, that's one of the And you can sit there and say, I don't know if I would call that game, week number six game in London, a prime time affair, but that is nationally televised. But the only time that the Panthers are on during prime time, week number two on Thursday night.
Well, there's four games in London this year? Is that right? I think I heard that. Maybe in the last couple of days, that there were four total games in London this season. When are they just going to go ahead and put a team in London? I mean, it's going to have to happen, or you're going to have to pull the plug. What are they attempting to gain?
I don't know.
By just putting games in London? Are they trying to build an English audience A British audience for the NFL?
And there is.
Are they trying to gauge their interest in actually placing a franchise there? Because, by God, if they don't have the interest there yet, they're never going to have it.
Oh, it's they got the interest. They're sold out. British markets become huge. I'm not sure how you could feasibly make that work.
Right. Or are they trying to have a flagship of NFL, you know, Northwestern Europe?
But, you know, they did have the NFL Europe back in the day with mm-hmm. London and Barcelona yeah. and Munich and those teams. But
is it just a quick cash grab every one of these games that they do?
Well, yeah.
Because I feel like that's a disservice to the fan bases of those teams who fly over there and play a game.
Or do you lose a home game?
You're losing a home game.
The thing is I don't think a team could feasibly work in London because you would have to schedule them differently. You would have to make sure that they were home for back-to-back weeks, and you would have to make sure that they were over here on the continent for back-to-back weeks. So you can't fly back and forth. Forget that. You would actually have to have some kind of facility here on the Continental 49 to have them work and practice at while they were here on a two-week stint. Now, I'm not sure the NFL is going to put that kind of money into one team. You know what
so
I mean?
So then it's got to be just a cash grab.
No,
otherwise,
just,
what's the point?
It's exactly that. It's about getting eyeballs on the TV sets. It's about selling merchandise. It's about selling jerseys and things of that nature. And, you know, it's an English-speaking country when it comes to England and you know, I don't think they're looking anything down the line when it comes to, NFL Europe like they did back in the day. I still maintain, this whole, spring football league, things of that nature, it won't work because if the NFL had figured a way that they would make some money off of it, they would have already done it. And they did it with NFL Europe back in the day, and it didn't work. So that's why I think the XFL is going to have problems. I don't care how much money they have. And also, you know, things started getting in with them yesterday. It was a report made it out onto the internet, because if it's on Twitter, it's true, Diesel, that Jeff Fisher, the former Tennessee Titans head coach, former LA Rams head coach, was going to take the Houston job in the XFL, and he said, oh, no, I'm not. So interesting, but I just don't see at this point, even though I want it, I would like to watch it at times on my terms. I just don't see a way that spring football is ever going to work unless you call it what it is and it's minor league. And guess what? People are already realizing it's not the top product. But one of the top products out there, it is our buddy Landon Powell. He is now the head coach of North Greenville University. And listen, the Crusaders having another great season. Remember, they hosted in the D2 baseball tournament last year. And, of course, they have another stock team. They're coming down the stretch. We'll talk with our buddy Landon Powell. We'll also find out, you know, it's baseball season, Little League, everything else going on. You need little Johnny or Jane to get out there and get some hitting done and get ready for the season. Landon's got you covered there as well. So Landon Powell, head coach of North Greenville, former South Carolina catcher, also former Oakland A's catcher, caught Dallas Braden's perfect game back in the day. He's joining us next live on Straight Up with Sturge. Hot off an 8-7 win over Lander last night in baseball. Hot off clinching the Conference Carolina's regular season title once again. North Greenville baseball, 33-9 on the year, 19-5 in the league. We've got Landon Powell, the head coach of North Greenville, with us. Landon, man, another great season. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, Sturge. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to the 2016 Sports Broadcaster of the Year. So I'm excited to be on with you guys.
Your check's in the mail. But listen, I mean, 5 years now, Landon. You were in your fifth year as head baseball coach at North Greenville. And you have now put a stamp on this program. Once again, you know, y'all hosted a regional in D2 in the D2 tournament last year. Has this gone the way you envisioned it when you got your first head coaching job after being on the Furman staff?
With some hiccups along the way, but if I would have wanted to be a certain place after 5 years, I guess we were pretty close to where we'd want to be. You know, taking over a program like North Greenville, it was in bad shape at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we've spoke a lot about how it was. I mean, they were 8-38 the year before I got there, and there wasn't a whole lot of desirable things going on with the baseball program at the time. So, you know, we won the conference championship that first year, and that I think that shocked a lot of people, including myself. I didn't think that we would have that quick of a turnaround, and then that gave us a ton of momentum into the next couple years, which were vital in getting some better players and changing the culture. And, you know, now we've won back-to-back conference championships, and we've been number one in the country 2 years in a row for portions of the season. So I'm very proud of the work we've done. I'm very proud of the players that have invested in the program, the coaches, and the school. The school's gotten behind me and believed in the program, given us better facilities. So I've been very blessed. I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and it's gone well, and I got more to do. I want to continue to take this thing to new levels that people didn't think could be possible. You know, win a national championship, continue to grow this program. We have aspirations to do a lot of things.
Yeah, and it's amazing. We're already coming down the stretch. You guys have 3 games beginning tomorrow up there in Tigerville. It's a 6 p.m. first pitch. Shawan University coming in. You close out the regular season on Monday with Anderson, and then April 25th through the 28th, that's next weekend, y'all are hosting the Carolinas Conference Tournament. And then you got like 3 games, 4 games after that before you'll get into the postseason. So this is nitty-gritty time, you know what I mean? It is time to get focused in, and you got that championship. I mean, I would think your guys are playing pretty loose right now.
Yeah, we've been playing well. We did last weekend, we were dealt some adversity. You know, we were ranked number one in the country in all 3 polls, and we went and lost 2 out of 3 to Mount Olive. And that's the first series we've lost all year. And they were hard-fought games. Mount Olive played incredibly. We didn't have our best series, and we lost two very close games and won the third one in a close fashion. So that adversity is actually a good thing late in the season. I like to play some close games and have our guys comfortable in tight situations. And but, you know, before that weekend, we had won 19 out of 21 games, and I'd love to get our guys back rolling like that down this final stretch. Like you said, we already won the regular season, but this conference tournament next week that we're hosting, we obviously want to go in there and win that conference tournament. And then we got a couple games after that to keep us fresh before the regionals. That was a lesson I learned my first year is, you know, we won our conference championship the first year, and we're going to a regional. And I said, okay, when's the regional? Next week? And my AD was like, no, it's in 3 weeks. I'm like, yeah, how do I keep these guys ready for 3 weeks? So I've kind of learned that lesson to schedule some games after the conference tournament, just to keep the rust off. And so we got some games left to play, but we're looking forward to a postseason run.
Landon, every team has to have its own personality. Now, without telling on any of your players, what does your team do to keep loose?
Well, I think that starts from the top with myself and my assistant, John Kudlangus. So we played together at South Carolina. We played together in professional baseball. Both of us were fortunate enough to make it to the big league. So we understand that this is a game, and you have to treat it with a boyhood mentality. If it becomes a job or it becomes a chore, then you're missing out. So we bring that atmosphere every day to the field. We create a very loose, fun environment. We don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, when practice starts and we cross that white line, we get after it. We work our butts off and grind. But before and after practice, we have a lot of fun. We sit in the locker room, play cards with our players. You know, we like to listen to music. We have a very fun, loose atmosphere. We develop close relationships with our guys. And honestly, that's been one of the biggest secrets to our success, I believe, is that we're young coaches. We're not the old school guy that screams and yells and punish runs. You know, we keep it loose. We keep it fun. We allow our players to have their own personality. And they seem to be playing and thriving in that atmosphere. So we're going to continue to do it.
So there's no Mr. Baseball lighting shoelaces on fire?
No, we don't take it that far. You know, obviously we do have to you know, have some respect for the game and our opponents, and the, you know, so there's a fine line. And there's been times, honestly, that we have to rein them in. We do cross that line sometimes where I'm like, hey, guys, all right, now it's verging on the, you know, maybe even being a little bush league. We're having a little too much fun. Let's rein it back in. But as long as we're always on the looser side of having fun, you know, and we're erring on that side of the game, I'm okay with it. I want my guys to enjoy the memories they're making at the college level. This is not a job for them. This is a, you know, for all these guys, these are going to be memories they look back on when they're 40 years old and cherish, and I want to make sure it happens that way.
Well, you're doing great. 33-9 overall, already 19-5 in Conference Carolinas, and of course, everybody can find out everything about North Greenville's athletic program, but especially your baseball team at nguathletics.com. Let me ask you this. Do you play Fortnite? Is that something you've had to learn to do with your players, things of that nature? Because I wouldn't know what it looked like if it came up and slapped me.
I do know what it is. I don't play it. Okay. But I do have a couple assistant coaches that play it, and they actually play with the players. I play some video games with them. I mean, we'll play NBA 2K or FIFA, things like that. I'm into sports games.
Right.
But I do know what it is.
There's different things in Game of Thrones. We've been talking about Game of Thrones and all the conspiracy theories and you know, our guys do a lot of fantasy sports, you know, fantasy football, fantasy basketball. So we get in there and roll our sleeves up and mix it up with our players. We have really close relationships with those guys, and I've found that that's been a big advantage for us in development of a player. You know, when I go to instruct that player, coach that player, even be hard on him in a way, if he knows I care about him and it's coming from a place of trust and he believes that I really want what's best for him, then he's more willing to listen to me. And you build that trust through relationship. And I think that a lot of coaches miss the boat on that a little bit. They think they have to be so authoritative or more like a boss. And then when they go to instruct that player, it feels more like a chore. It feels more like someone's putting their thumb on you. And so that's a little different approach that we've taken, and we've had some success with it.
Let me ask you, as we continue with Landon Powell, head coach at North Greenville University, former South Carolina Gamecock catcher, major league catcher. You know, when you were building this, your first year or two, when you were out there recruiting, did you have to sell a little bit of the fact that you played in Ray Tanner's program, y'all played for national titles, you made it to the major leagues. Your catcher Schmidt ended up in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame from catching Dallas Braden's perfect game that time. Did you have to sell that at the beginning? And now that you're 5 years in, you've been ranked number one, now you get to sell the North Greenville program itself?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, I think early on, North Greenville is a great school. It's a great Christian university, a lot of positive things at this school. But the baseball program was not one of those things. They had a losing tradition. The facility was well below par. There wasn't a whole lot of great things to sell when it came to the baseball program. So definitely my first couple years, we were selling the coaching staff. We were selling myself and my assistant coaches' credentials and experiences. And we were selling an opportunity to play a lot. You know, we had a lot of open available at-bats, available innings. So that was definitely early on what we were selling. I think we were selling more of ourselves, along with a great Christian environment, great Christian university. And correct, sir. I mean, now that we've won a little bit, we've won a couple conference championships, we've been ranked high, all of a sudden we have this $1.2 million turf field. We already broke ground on stadium seating. I mean, we're building a state-of-the-art facility out here that will be second to none on our level nationwide. So now we're able to sell a winning tradition. We're able to sell an opportunity to win a championship. And we're selling a facility that's top-notch. Recruiting has gotten way easier for me the last couple years than it was those first two or three years.
Yeah, and we want people to make sure they get out starting April 25th. That's next Thursday for the Conference Carolinas tournament up there. And again, you can find your tickets, everything online at nguathletics.com. Now, Landon, I got to visit the new Topgolf last night, and I thought about you and Marchbanks, your best friend David Marchbanks, a good friend of mine, former intern. I played golf with you guys one day, and it was the worst game I've ever played because y'all hit the daggum ball further than I can ever think about. All right, I'm not sure you can get it over those nets at Topgolf. You may not always knew where it was going, but boy, it was a high, beautiful, long shot. But I think those nets at Topgolf can actually keep your drive in there.
Well, that sounds like a challenge, so I'll take you up on it. I haven't been playing much lately. It's baseball season, so
that's
my golf game's had to take a back seat, but my son is an avid golfer. He actually went to the Masters last weekend and had an incredible experience. He got to go on the putting green with Tiger Woods before the round. I mean, this is on Sunday, and Xander Schauffele gave him his golf glove right before the round, and he ended up finishing second. So My son was in hog heaven, and he's all about golf right now. He's got the bug. So I'm sure we'll be making a trip to Top Golf here soon, and I'll report back to you, right, Sturge, and let you know how I did.
All right. Listen, also, it's that time of the year. I know you and Mark Spank's sons play in the Greenville Little League, I believe. But how can people get, you know, it's time to get in that mode and going on. One of the best days I've ever had was broadcasting from the Little League World Series up in Williamsport. How can people get to the Hit House and get some work in with their kids?
Yeah, so if you've ever been on Malden Road right off of 85 Highway, there's a Little League complex park called Conesty Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my son plays all his Little League games, Conesty Park for Greenville Little League. Right across the street from that is a hitting facility called the Hit House.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Landon Powell Hit House. So we're one of the, you know, there's two or three really good facilities around Greenville, and we're one of those top-notch facilities, great instructors, opportunity to get your kids some lessons, get them work, and learn from guys that played the game on the mm-hmm. on the college and professional level. So we've had that business now about 5 years. You know, it's been a lot of fun to watch some kids grow up in there who are now getting opportunities to play college ball. It's been a really great thing. I've loved being a part of it. So thanks for the plug, Sturge. I appreciate that.
And no problem. I know my wife, Mrs. Allison, on WYFF in the mornings, but correct me if I'm wrong, she's now at South State Bank and doing very well there as well.
Yeah, she loved her time at WYFF. Obviously, being on television is a cool experience, but it wasn't a sustainable lifestyle for us. I mean, she was getting up at 2:30 in the morning, and she was on air at 4:30. So she was just worn out. We got young kids. Me and her, our schedules, we were like passing ships in the night. So eventually we had to make a move and get into a different lifestyle. So she quit the news and took a little time off, and then got an opportunity at South State Bank to be a private banker. She is absolutely loving her opportunity and time there. Great people, great company. So if you have anyone out there listening, needs some private or commercial, residential, whatever banking needs, look her up at South State. She's good at what she does, and that bank's great at what they do.
Yep, and you're good at what you do. So proud of you, Landon. 33-9, North Greenville, 19-5, regular season champions. We're going to get you on before the D2 tournament starts, but right now, let's challenge our people here in Greenville County. Let's challenge South Carolina fans. Get up to North Greenville beginning April 25th, the Conference Carolinas tournament. You'll be amazed by the facility, but number two, this is our number one, you know, ranked number one in D2 a couple of weeks ago. Congratulations, Landon. So very proud.
I appreciate that. Everyone can go to @NGUBaseball on Twitter.
Yep.
That's we use that for a lot of our scheduling and stuff like that. And that tournament you mentioned, Sturge, it's a great tournament. There's eight really good teams from across the Conference Carolinas coming to play here. Good brand of baseball. So we'd love for some folks to come see some baseball if they're looking to get entertained.
All right. Well, listen, we'll be in touch here soon. Glad you're doing well, and give Mark Schmitz my best.
Will do. See you later.
Landon Powell, former Carolina Gamecock, current North Greenville head coach, class act, no doubt about it. And again, yeah, we're talking Hall of Fame. Not Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Wade Hampton Boulevard, where we're having our ESPN Upstate NFL draft party on Thursday. He actually had his catcher's mitt sent to the Hall of Fame because he caught a perfect game from Dallas Britt. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Class act. Go follow @NGU on Twitter for their baseball program. NGUathletics.com is the website. When we come back, hey, it's two more segments. It's open phones. Let's have some fun. Remember, Diesel and Patrick Brown have you covered from 4 to 5:30 tomorrow.
Sturge, you were out at the new media night for the new Top Golf opening out there on the corners of Pelham Road and 85 last night. You said it was an awesome experience. Why is there not a Top Golf version for baseball? Well, this seems like it would be a no-brainer. Stack a couple of batting cages on top of each other. Let people just hit baseballs out into a giant field and make a game out of it.
Maybe we have our business in the future. Why don't we do it? But here's one thing, all right? When there's a bar there, and you have golf clubs in hand, that could be dangerous. But I'm thinking when there's a bar and baseball bats in hand, that could be a riot.
People do as much damage with golf clubs as they do with baseball bats.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so that brings up various forms of entertainment now when it comes to how we spend our money, how we do it as adults. Diesel. Have you seen the video of the axe-throwing girl? There's a place here in town, I forget the name of it, you can go throw an axe. You can drink beer and throw axes.
Seems like a great combo.
Especially here in the South, right? I mean, I guess we probably all grew up with an uncle that did that. You know what I mean? But did you see the video? First of all, I can't believe that business is actually insured by a major carrier because they didn't foresee the axe bouncing off the wall and coming right back at her, and she had to duck because I'm telling you, she might have been decapitated. Do you think Lloyd's of London maybe saw that video and goes, oh, crap, what did we get ourselves into? Now, I'm not knocking it. I hear it's a blast, but I bet that was a scenario that nobody envisioned when it was coming to fruition.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not a wall that you stand behind.
Yeah.
When you throw, so at least the bottom half of your body is protected. Maybe something on the top half. Obviously, you don't want to impede your ability to go kind of overhead in that motion. But, yeah, I've seen that video. She had to duck to get out from under. Now, there's another video. I don't know if you've seen out there. It's a guy shooting a 50 caliber sniper rifle, and he shoots downrange, and it catches the steel plate that he's shooting at just right, and it bounces and hits his spare set of headphones or earmuffs that are sitting 5 feet away from him. Wow. I assume that video is real. I don't know. Somebody can tell me if they know what I'm talking about.
Diesel, you and I have been known to go out and have a little fun. Can you imagine us with axe in hands with an adult beverage? Something's going to happen, whether it's to you, me, or somebody else. But something is going to happen. It's going to be memorable. You know what I mean? No doubt about it. But, yeah, that could be, get a pitching machine or, you have distance contests, this or that and the other. And, again, the Hit House out on Malden Road. Go check them out because, listen, it is time for Little League Baseball. And things are really, really heating up in that aspect as well. So, Diesel, before we go out to break, when we come back, the SEC just pulled a really cool move when it comes to college basketball. And it's not the fact that they have added – when it comes to depth in their league, what I consider the most impressive group of coaches in the game of college basketball. But sometimes you got to partner up with somebody, and that's exactly what they've done. But speaking of partnering up with Diesel, next Thursday, we're going to be live at Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Wade Hampton Boulevard. That's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard down toward the, toward downtown. A fantastic place. 25 televisions, literally banks of televisions in the corners. Full open bar, killer food. I've had the Cornhusker not once but twice now. That's their Reuben. It is absolutely fantastic. They got so many things going on at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. As a matter of fact, you can get by there tonight. It's top shelf trivia bingo. Begins at 7 p.m., and the prizes include bar gift certificates. You can enter into a randomly drawn progressive cash jackpot. Also, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, $10 burger and beer days. You can't go wrong. As a matter of fact, I haven't been there for Sundays, but two friends of mine have bragged how good their Sunday brunch is. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with $2 mimosas and $5 house Bloody Mary special. Listen, they're having a big 420 party this weekend in the parking lot with live music beginning at 3 o'clock, a Cinco de Mayo party next weekend. But most importantly, Thursday, Offsides with Mark Ryan and then Straight Up with Sturge. We're going to be live from Hall of Fame Sports Grill celebrating the fact that 31 people are getting ready to be instant millionaires in the NFL. So make sure you come join us on Thursdays. You can even get the P1 Pilsner there in cans, Diesel. I hadn't had a beer in 16, 17 years probably. Now, I've drank half the state of Kentucky out of bourbon that, in that time, but I hadn't had it. I heard from multiple people that Rise Guys P1 Pilsner is really good. So
I can attest to that. I've had
can
it.
You?
Yeah, I've had it multiple times. It is really good. If you like a good Pilsner, I mean, if you're looking for an IPA or if you're looking for a dark stout, it's not going to be your beer. But if you like Pilsners, if you like something that's light and drinkable, yes, it's very good.
All right. Well, we'll come back. We'll close up shop. You can give us a quick call, 844-GSP-ESPN. College basketball in the SEC just got a whole lot better with their new move. All right, final segment. Diesel and Patrick will have you covered for 90 minutes tomorrow ahead of Clemson-Duke baseball. My apologies. You know, today, no real hot-button topics and all, because last night, you know, every once in a while, you got to deal with a curveball. I had to do the business side of things when it comes to radio last night. When did not get that opportunity like I like to do every night before I go to bed to jot some things down. But Diesel, I think this is appropriate. You can follow me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. Since we had the Masters this past week over in Augusta, and this week we're having the Heritage down in Hilton Head, which is our state's only major PGA tournament or, you know, main tour. Of course, we have, you know, kind of a major, if you will, when it comes to the web.com tour with the with the tournament over here, the BMW Pro-Am. So it's kind of apropos with Topgolf and everything else to go look at what I just retweeted on Twitter. It is a, first of all, one of the best follows on Twitters is like 70 Sports. I mean, it comes up, they just come up with some great stuff. Super 70 Sports. Somebody took their commode and put green AstroTurf down on the lid, all right?
Oh, Sturge, that's putting the ass in AstroTurf.
Absolutely. You nailed that one earlier. Or there's a situation, like Super 70 Sports says, definitely a situation where you don't want to have one lip out.
Every shot is a hole-in-one.
Every shot is a hole-in-one. Think about it. Go again, I just retweeted it, but I let you didn't even miss a bit. It's like you had already seen it in bit. Without even looking up, you're like, dude, that puts the ass in AstroTurf. I could not help, but I literally broke out laughing.
That's
Thank
when
you.
You're trying to put every ball in the drink.
That's when you want to get in the water, right? I mean, think of what the fun we can have. So go find. As a matter of fact, you probably should put that out there on our ESPN Upstate
Doing
Twitter
right
account
now.
As well. First of all, if you're married and you have kids, a trip to the bathroom can be a vacation to get away from people. You're going to get done with your business as fast as possible if you're sitting on AstroTurf on top of your toilet. The business will get done quickly. Speaking of business, the SEC, absolutely, have they made a jump when it comes to college basketball? You know, I think the depth of the league when it comes to coaches now is superior probably to anyone in the game. But the SEC got a whole lot better. They announced earlier today that they are going to enter into a scheduling agreement with the American Athletic Conference in regards to college basketball games coming up this season. And it's going to be a multi-year deal. What they're going to do is they're going to take four SEC schools, four AAC schools, and they're going to participate in two-year home-and-homes. So what that's going to do, that helps get you a good opponent there in the non-conference schedule. I like that. You know, we see the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I think it's SEC Big 12. Nobody pays that much attention to it. I like this, and I think that would be a good way. Even in college football, for some thing, find some partners. You know what I mean? I saw what Texas and Florida are scheduling something for a home and home, I believe, for the late 2030s. I'm in 2019. I don't need to worry about what game's going to be played as a home and home 20 years from now. Number two, will they ever take place? You know, we've asked. What are the chances that Clemson and Oklahoma actually play that home-and-home series in, what, 35 and 36? Probably a pretty good chance, but there's always that possibility.
Well, do you think this is the American Athletic Association or conference's push to be labeled as a Power Six conference? Because they've been pushing really hard for that nomenclature. They've had it on their helmets now for, I think, 2 years. They've been putting P6 stickers on their helmets. So to be able to sign an agreement like this with a major conference is a big deal for the AAC.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's why I like what college basketball does with some of the mid-major programs in February when they have that weekend where they put two teams together. That's smart for those mid-major programs as well. So you know what we're getting ready to see. If the American Athletic Conference and the SEC announce this today, who do you think it's got coming up? The ACC and the Big 12 or something along those lines? Because you know what we've said for months, at least since I've come back from surgery. When it comes to sport, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and that's what we do. So, again, I think that's a smart move. And the American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko said, "I'm extremely pleased that we have entered into this scheduling alliance with the SEC. SEC basketball offers quality opponents, which will elevate our non-conference schedules and also helps you sell tickets."
I came up with another joke for the AstroTurf toilet seat, Sturge. It's when even a crappy day on the course is better than a great day at the office.
Yes, no kidding. All right, so you and Patrick are going to have us have everybody covered for at least 90 minutes tomorrow. Of course, you are going to have to pay attention to weather.com, and y'all been working on it for a couple of days. It's going to be a fun show. Diesel, it's been a busy week. We've done a lot of business this week. Like I said, welcome to the ESPN Upstate Family Hall of Fame Sports Grill. We got some stuff going with Topgolf. We've got other meetings coming up this week. So you've done a lot of work this week, and I appreciate you taking over for 90 minutes with Patrick tomorrow, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit scared. I am taking my one and only, my baby, on her first college visit tomorrow to Belmont University in Nashville. You know what? It is now a different time in our life. You might as well just suck it up and accept it. I'm at this point where I want to go put her in bubble wrap and go lock her in her bedroom. You know what I mean? I really do. But guess what?
I can't believe you're letting your little girl get that far away from you for college.
She's going to have to decide 6.5 hours if that's going to be too far or not. She has her option here in the state. But I'm going to be honest with you, what Belmont can offer in her junior and senior years there in Nashville for theater and that kind of stuff, if this is where she's supposed to be, her mom and I are going to find a way to make it happen. And they'll make it happen tomorrow. I'll be back at Smoke on the Water on Monday. And, of course, have a great weekend. Diesel and Patrick, they'll cover you tomorrow here on ESPN Upstate. Thank you. Be blessed. We'll talk to you on Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.